Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Fathers, grandfathers. Every day is Father's Day for me, I have to admit. Because I have breakfast in bed every morning. How good is that, guys? Yep. I get up every morning, I take a stroll over to the kitchen, I get my muesli and I make my breakfast and I come back to bed. Breakfast in bed. One of those times of the years, guys, did you open your presents yet? Did you get the socks? Did you get the hankies? Did you get the aftershave? I got the socks. You know, one of the things about getting older is the kids really start to know you really well. So I get this package from Sydney from my other daughter, and the socks have got days of the week on them. And she says, that's so Dad, you can just check to see what day of the week it is. But we love it. Ladies, don't get us wrong. Kids, don't get us wrong. We do love it. We're not upset about this. We're not upset about the hankies and the socks and the undies and the other things that come because we need them. And we know you wash them. And we are grateful for that. We humbly accept what you give us. And I'm just happy to have had a chat with my dad this morning. He's 87. And we made a pact this year. We said, by Father's Day, we have to have had some lasagna. Okay? Because he said, haven't had lasagna in ages. I said, oh, Dad, neither have I. He said, so, okay, we've got to make sure we both were able to tell each other, Happy Father's Day. Did you have your lasagna? Yes, I did. We're all happy. Some things, you see, hit the right spot. The Bible has a lot to say about fathers, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But we really, really, really need to remind our mums and our kids that we fathers can actually be quite enterprising when we put our minds to it. I mean, you take the simple, common, everyday duct tape. You know the duct tape? We can do marvelous things with that. We are very inventive. In fact, the saying should be, necessity really is the father of invention. That's what it should be. So church, sit back and marvel at the ingenuity and the creativity of the fathers in this short video clip that I'm going to show you. And then I'll get back to talk to you about what the Bible says. So sit back, enjoy this silly little video. There we go, fathers. Thank you for being the tape that binds. Oh, dear, oh, dear. We have lots of fun. Today I want all fathers, grandfathers, uncles, not yet fathers, to consider this topic, living out your fatherly faith. So it's about fatherly faith, and that fatherly faith, of course, is the heavenly Father that we're pointing to. And I hope there will be some pearls of wisdom that will apply, not just to fathers, may I add, to any single parents particularly, because, you know, you guys have to take the whole gamut. You have to be mum and dad. And so there's some pearls of wisdom in here for you guys as well. So let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, which will come up on the screen. There we go. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I'll give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full day, light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you give careful thought to the paths for your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. There are three key things I want to share this morning. And I hope that you will take them away, not just the guys, but everybody, because these are basic truths, I think, that in any position of leadership will apply. Here they are. Do whatever it takes to live out your faith, number one. Number two, know your responsibilities. And number three, communicate your values. Three non-negotiable items that must be part of a dad's life if he is to be a godly influence on his children. And that's my emphasis this morning. We want to be godly influences on our kids. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we do this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we thank you. We thank you that we can gather to celebrate. We've celebrated communion. We've celebrated what you've done for us as your children through Jesus Christ, your Son, in his ultimate sacrifice. And we remember, Father, we remember what that sacrifice means, and we remember that it's valuable today, that it counts today, that we as dads, we as parents, we as leaders in any shape or form can come back to you when we have made a mistake, when we have got it wrong, when we have let you down, and we can ask forgiveness. Speak to us today as we go through some of the bits of this passage and highlight a few things. Speak to us that your Holy Spirit would actually help us to live out some of these truths. Whether we've been doing it before or it's brand new to us, that you would help us to understand and see the importance of living according to your word, empowered by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen and amen. In the verses 10 to 13, notice how the writer here, we believe Solomon, says very clearly, listen, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. It's a really challenging sentence, isn't it? He's saying to the children, to the sons, listen, and your life, the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom. I lead you along straight paths. Underline the word lead. Lead is going to be a very important theme in this message today. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instructions. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Now I can think back when I was a child and my dad would give me instructions, and I think, what would you know? By the time I got to 13 years of age, of course, teenagers know everything. There's nothing you can teach a teenager. If you've just got kids that are reaching teenage, remember this. There's nothing they think they don't know. Now, of course, you know better, but they're not going to listen to you at that point in time. So you have to be creative to get through to them. But it says hold on to instruction. Good thing is, when they're in their 20s and 30s, they come back to you and say, you know, when you tell me that when I was 13, you were absolutely perfectly right. And when they have their own kids that are 13, they then come back and say, boy, how right were you? Immediately following this text, Solomon, the author, gives us wise advice to his children. But that's not the part I want to focus on right now. I want us to pay attention to the fact that he notices how important his dad was in giving him instruction. And what he has to say about himself. And there are, I believe, these three non-negotiable items that you'll find here in this passage. We won't have time to go through everything, but I'll select a few bits. This is so crucial for us as dads if we want to be a godly influence on children. Now, you've probably heard the saying, do as I say, not as I do. Come on, how many of us are guilty of saying that at some stage and going, what have I just said? Left myself wide open. I like the way the scriptures brings this alive to us. And I think of a particular example, which I remember Sue telling me, and I saw this as we were dating, and I saw Sue's dad at the dinner table, and I realised what she was telling me was in fact true. But Sue tells me that when she was growing up, her dad used to say, no reading at the dinner table. And then he'd pull out the huge newspaper, you know, Sydney Morning Herald it was, so it was kind of that, you needed both arms outstretched to actually read it. And that's what he'd do. He'd sit there and he would read the paper at the dinner table, having just told the kids to put their books away and not to read. And he'd punctuate it every now and then, bring the paper down and take a mouthful of food. And he would say, do as I say, not as I do. And unfortunately, that was sending the wrong message, wasn't it? Because Sue would explain to me, well, what we did was we looked at what he was doing, and that's where we drew the rule. We realised, well, okay, there's either two rules here, adults get away with it and kids don't, or you know what, you're not actually following through on your basic rule for everybody at the table. And so again, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. So dads, we are a role model, whether you like it or not. We are a role model. The kids are looking up to see what we are doing as dads, to learn how they're actually to live their lives. I like the New Living Translation of verses 10 and 11. It says this, my child, listen to me, do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. Hiding behind the newspaper at the dinner table when you've said no reading at the table isn't leading, is it? It's breaking the rule big time and setting the wrong example. And as I said, we're probably all guilty in some shape or form of setting up a rule, a household rule, and then we've broken it. But the kids notice. Notice that Solomon instructs his child to do as he says, but he follows up with a promise. I'm not going to tell you how to live. I'm going to show you how to live. And I'm going to be an example to you. So I'll lead and you follow. That's basically what he's saying. For we teach our kids by the way we live more than we ever will teach them through what we say. So there's the challenge to us as men. Now, don't give up. Like me, you've probably got it wrong in the past. But don't let that discourage you. Keep at it. Keep going. It's very important. As I said, by the time they get to teenage, they're not going to listen as much as they would when they're primary age. So you need to set some things in place. And if what you say and what you do matches up, then you're on the right track. You're doing the very best you possibly can as a dad. So we need to be careful. If we tell our kids not to smoke or not to get drunk or not to take drugs, not to have sex outside of a biblical marriage, and yet they see any of these things in our lives, in our lifestyle, what are we actually communicating to them? Because you're going to be the book they read. You're going to be the signpost they see. And so what you do will model for them what they will copy. If you're sending the wrong message, as I've done before in my past, by your actions, then that's not going to be helpful for them to lead a path that leads them towards our Heavenly Father. Are you still with me? It's tough stuff. It's tough stuff, but we need to hear it. And again, fathers, this is not guilt tripping. I'm not here to guilt trip you. I've told you I've stuffed up many a times, and my daughter can testify to it. She's here. You can talk to her after on morning tea, and she'll give you a long list if you've got that long to wait over a long coffee. No. The same is true if you tell your kids not to cheat or lie or gossip or not to have a bad attitude or disrespect others. They'll see it in you. If that's what you're doing, they're going to copy you. And any other of the sins that we could add to this list. Because kids view what we do with our life as permission. Permission to do the same. If that's the standard we set and we do it, then they're going to say, well, monkey see, monkey do, as the old expression says. Okay, enough of the negative guilt tripping, because that's what it can sound like here. Let's swing it the other way around. Let's swing it the other way around, because that will help the contrast much more effectively, I think. If your kids see you spending time in prayer, they see you opening your scriptures every morning. What are you doing, Daddy? Oh, I'm having time with God. They'll get their little Bible and they'll sit with you and they'll open up, because they'll copy. They'll copy you. They will mimic you. They will see what you do and they will do it too. If you're serious about being committed to God, let them see you when you're doing the things that please God and that will model to them. Let them know how important going to church is. Let them know how important gathering with your connect group is. Let them understand why it's important to be regularly and wholeheartedly involved in serving God and telling others about Jesus. Because they'll catch on if they see you do it. And you'll have so many proud dad stories of them telling you that they've invited their little friend Johnny to come to Sunday school as well. They see you at work, hard at work, honouring your boss, treating their mother with respect and love, that you're concerned about their welfare, and many of the other positive things we could add to that, like, you know, they will see that and they will have this sense, because you're giving permission to them, they'll have this sense of doing what is right and good and holy and pure and God-honoring. Are they going to be perfect? Of course not. Are you perfect? No. But you're going to lead them in the right path. And let God do the rest. Amen? Now, by the grace of God, it is possible that your child might grow up to be God-honoring or not, regardless of how you live your life. I mean, that's possible. But at least mathematically, the chances are much greater that they will not turn out how you want them if you're not a good example to them, if you don't give them that opportunity to understand what it means to be a Christian and how to live a life of following God. Are you with me? I've had so many parents who've said to me, I used to teach scripture over East. Over East there's a situation, an anomaly in the law, which I won't go into, which allowed scripture to be taught for 30 minutes in a public school every week. And I was one of the scripture teachers, my wife as well. And so many parents would not want to put their kids in scripture class because they said, oh, I don't want to fill my child's head with all these ideas about God or this or that or the other. I want them to grow up and learn for themselves. Well, how are they going to learn if they don't know? They're being bombarded by all sorts of other stuff, aren't they? How are they going to learn if they don't know? And that's my response. How will they discern? I would say to the parents, how are they going to tell the difference if they don't know any facts? And then I say to the parent, do you know anything about Jesus? Oh, well, no, I didn't. Well, why don't you come to church and find out? Because it's good for you to be a step ahead of them. Amen? And, you know, so many introductions to Christianity classes were begun on that basis. But we need to set this standard. We've got to make a stand as parents, especially in this politically correct world we live in. And again, as single parents, you've got it tough because you're doing double roles, aren't you? But it's just as important for you. Now, with kids, you know, it's true that there's the free will factor that comes into play. You know, we want to influence our kids' decisions as much as we possibly can so they might become the person God's created them to be. As fathers, we can do that, as I said, by doing our very best, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to live our lives in ways that are going to lead them to the Father rather than away from the Father. They got so much already in the world that's pointing them in the other directions, away from the true and mighty living God. So there's the first one. Do whatever it takes to live out your faith. Second one is know your responsibilities. Guys, we need to know our responsibilities. If you're the only human father your child will ever have, then that's not something that you and I can take lightly. Sadly, in these days, as I said, there's too many people who do not know the Lord as God and Father. There's too many people who have trouble relating to God as he's revealed himself as Father, because they have a negative image in their minds of what a father is according to their own experience. And that's so sad, so hard to break that, isn't it? And when we father children, we become responsible. We know for their well-being. We become responsible as a parent to ensure that they have a safe place to live, that they have clothes on their backs, and they have food in their stomachs and health care when they get sick. And you know what? We as Christian dads are pretty good at that. It's the next bit that worries me. We are responsible for their spiritual upbringing. It's the spiritual side of things that's equally important. And that's the one we tend to neglect the most, isn't it? It's our job to make sure they know about Jesus. It's our job to make sure they're regularly in a position to be influenced by other Christians. That's why some of you, most of you, if not all of you, put your kids into our kingdom, into our Sun Life Kids, so that they can be taught. That's only one aspect. I mean, that's only an hour-ish on a Sunday. If that's all you're doing, I hope the alarm bells are ringing really loudly right now. If that's the only Christian input they get in a week, can I sound that alarm bell for you? That's not what it's about. It's not going to happen just with an hour of Kingdom Kids. They need to be part of a God-honoring church, yes. They need to understand the basics of Christianity so they can make their own faith response one day. But parents, you have the key role. I'll say more about that in a moment. I mean, Solomon learned his responsibility in the area from his father David. And here he is, verse 4, teaching to his child. Verse 4, talking about it, he says, "Then he taught me," referring to his father David, "and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live.'" And so in verse 10, Solomon goes on to say to his son, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many." Oh, there's a lot of wisdom in this, folks. Now, if we had time, and some of you are already thinking, hang on, King David, King Solomon, their lives were not exemplary, were they? I mean, they weren't the perfect father. Perfect example, because they're not the perfect father. Neither are you, neither am I. But that's a good thing in this case, because it means that we have a possibility with God's help to achieve what God wants us to achieve. Amen? It would take us a long time to list their faults. But they were no means perfect men, and neither are you and I. They both, however, had this desire in their hearts. They knew in their heart of hearts that following God was what it's all about, even though they weren't perfect in doing it. In this area of their responsibility, they got the message of what their role was as a dad. One of the problems in today's society, isn't it, it has to do with fathers. Fathers who've decided they're not going to be responsible for their children's spiritual upbringing. "I'm just too busy. I've got too much to do at work. I have to work back. I just can't do this. I can't do the sports stuff. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm just too busy." Don't fall into that trap. I fell into that trap with my second daughter. And she's now somewhat estranged from the Lord. You don't want to go there. It's not a good place to be. It's very important for us to give them priority in our lives. It has serious moral implications, doesn't it? But we can decide what we're going to do as parents. We can't decide what other people are going to do. We can't really do exactly what they do. We have to work it out for ourselves within our own family structure, whether it's a mother and father family situation, a single parent situation, whatever it is, we have to work out what works for us under God. And we can choose to take responsibility in this area. We can choose to fulfill our roles to the best of our ability as fathers, to teach our children while they're still young what it means to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus, both by our words and most importantly by our actions. Amen? It's not a new situation. If you're struggling with this, remember you're not alone. It's not a new situation. We face the same dilemma that the people of God have always been faced with. Do we follow an imposter, a counterfeit God of this world? Or do we follow Yahweh, the true, mighty God of heaven and earth? In Old Testament times, we see it was an important issue. Joshua put this to his people, Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers, the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. And here it is. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There it is. There's your saying, guys. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And under God, that's what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. Fathers, it's up to you. It's up to you to decide who your family is going to serve. That's a responsibility we inherit the day we become fathers. And that first moment when we hold a baby in our arms, that I do remember. When Livia was born, I won't say how long ago, I won't embarrass her, but when she was just a little baby, to hold her in my arms, there's nothing comparable to that experience. Amen? We get an amen from the dads? Amen. Yeah, you know what we're talking about. It's a wonderful experience. And at that moment, I remember being the first child, I thought, boy, it must be hard for you, God. You've got a lot of kids to look after. Just one is scaring the pants off me. But we get a taste of what God must be going through. Third point, communicate your values. Biggest problem we found in marriages today usually stems from a failure to communicate. And you know, it's not any different with parents and kids. The same is true with our relationship with our kids. As I said, especially when they hit teenage years, then, you know, the language changes and the dress changes, and it's very hard for us to bridge that communication gap. Not impossible, I might add, but as parents. They'll listen to everybody else, but not their parents. That's the key issue, isn't it? But communicating your values is important. Proverbs 4, verses 11 to 13. I guide you, he says, in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. There are so many issues that we have to deal with today, you know. 30 years ago, I thought it was complicated enough being a new parent. But these days, there are so many more issues and problems that confront our society. It's really hard being a parent today. But it's good that you're not alone. You've got a Sun Life family to support you. You've got instruction from the scriptures. But no problem is more critical to our long-range future than the objective of communicating our values to the next generation. I got excited too when I heard that. Pastor Bin has shared that. And in terms of God willing, the new venue and opening up for the next generation of people and being a witness, a light, a beacon for the next generation. You know, it's so in sync with what we're called to do as parents. It's just so exciting to see. And the question is similar. We need to ask the question, when today's children reach adulthood, what will they be like? When today's children in this community, in West Perth, reach adulthood, what are they going to be like? What influence have we as a church had on them? Will they be so involved with a secular kind of lifestyle? They won't have any time for God, for the church, for their marriages, for raising their own children? Let's get even blunter at this point. I believe the only authentic values in the long term are Christian values. They're the only authentic values. I accept it's a personal decision. And some of you here may not have made that decision for Jesus. But as we've shared in communion, as you've heard Pastor Bin explain what the cross means earlier in the service, if we put our trust in Jesus, we believe, as Lord and Saviour, we believe that our sins are forgiven. And we know that's true because Jesus predicted he was going to die and on the third day rise to new life, come alive again, to show his power over sin and death, to rescue us from the eternal punishment in hell that we deserve for having broken God's laws. But he set us free, amen? Amen. We've been set free. What greater motivation than that to let your kids know and understand that you've been set free? You want for them what God has given for you. Imperfect as we are as dads, we want them to know what our heavenly dad is like. We want them to know the great love he has for us in what he's done through Jesus. There's no other way to be saved. It's politically incorrect for me to say that, but it's true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's no other way to be saved. No other way. And that's the challenge we have. That's the challenge we have as parents, to let our children understand this, let them know who Jesus is, and give them that opportunity. They have to make their own minds up. We can't brainwash them. We can't force them. Let's not pretend for 1 minute that our children somehow reach adulthood in a vacuum without being influenced from the outside. We know the influence they have from the outside. Well, what about from the inside? What about from within the four walls of our own homes? What are they getting? When they reach adulthood, it's most often determined by then, by what they've been educated with, and most importantly, how they've been influenced by their parents. That sets them up in their adult life to make a decision for Jesus, if they haven't already made one. So what's the real key? As Christians and parents, I'm sure that many of you are also concerned, as we should be, about the many negative influences in today's world. We hear a lot about peer pressure, media influence, effects of advertising, the pervasive influence of secular culture, and it's getting worse. And they're real and significant concerns. Well, let's remember, we have the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who sent Jesus, who sent his Holy Spirit to be in us and with us. We have the power of God. The power of God available to do what we can't do. We need to walk in his strength. Please don't hear me this morning. I'm not talking about you being the best dad in your own strength. I want all of us to be the best dads in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to encourage each other for. Don't point the finger of blame anywhere else. Let's not blame the government schools. They're not going to teach your kids about Christian values. But don't rely on Sunday school only as the only source. It's up to you to do it at home. They need consistency. Finger pointing never solves a problem, amen? We need to find the real key to developing faith in the minds of the young, and we need to put our emphasis there. The real key to developing your child and mine's Christian values is our involvement and our example that we set as parents, but especially as fathers. Mothers, I'm not neglecting you. Your influence is equally, in some cases, maybe more important in other aspects which we haven't got time to go into. But so important, the seeds that we sow in the lives of our kids. Now, some of you might be saying, I'm not a parent. I haven't had that experience. You're a spiritual parent. You're a spiritual mother and father. There are children in this church. There are people younger than you who you can father spiritually. You can get alongside them and pour some of these words of wisdom into their life. You can say, hey, should you really be doing that? Can we have a coffee together? Can we talk about what you're contemplating? As a Christian, is that really wise, my son? And seek to influence them. Never underestimate the power of you, because the Holy Spirit is in you and he can use you to influence and change the destiny of people around you. I love Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Here's Moses and commandments and stuff. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. There's a command from Moses addressed to us as parents. Listen to 1 Kings 15:26. Here's the negative, and I'll give you a positive. This is talking about Jeroboam, the first king of Israel after the nation divided. We're told he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of his father, and in his sin, which he'd caused Israel to commit. He took the wrong path, influenced by his father. What about 1 Kings 22, verse 43? Here's the positive spin. In everything, he walked in the ways of Asa. This is King Jehoshaphat. He walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. See the positive influence, guys, you can be. Has there ever been a godly father who had an ungodly son? Yes, of course. We won't deny that. Has there been a godly son who had an ungodly father? Yes, of course. We're not forgetting about the power of the Holy Spirit, but ultimately it's up to him. We're not forgetting that. And thank God for his Holy Spirit, amen? But as parents, if we don't consistently communicate these godly values to our kids through our personal example by speaking the word of truth to them, are we really surprised if they turn their backs on God and embrace the world? This is a turning point. Maybe you haven't had kids yet. Maybe that's a long way off. Maybe it's a horizon you can't even see. Maybe you have, and your kids are still young. Here's a turning point. Where's your determination to seek to be the very best dad or parent that you can? It's never too late. It's never, ever too late. Amen? Let me wrap this up. You may be a Christian father here today and you know you've messed up. You may feel you've messed up so badly in this area of parenting, perhaps in other areas as well. You just want to make a fresh start with God. Take the moment today to do so. Clear the slate. Ask him to turn you around. Help him, ask you his help to transform your thinking into your heart language, that you too may be different from today. No situation's hopeless. I believe that with God and the Holy Spirit's help, you can begin to change today and be on the way to becoming the spiritual leader that God wants you to be. So I ask you this morning, as we sing our last song, will you commit your life to Jesus and seek his supernatural help today? As a father, as someone perhaps who's saying, I want more of this Jesus. I don't really know, but I want more. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, to come up the front and admit that, we should all be up the front, really, as dads. We've not been perfect dads. But I want you to seriously consider that. And I'm just going to lead us in a general prayer, and then the guys are going to lead us in a song. Father God, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you again, as we've been reminded today, that when we get it wrong, we know that you're there. You forgive us. Help us today. Thank you for the fathers that you've made us to be. We want to be the very best dads we can, the very best granddads we can, uncles. But we can't do it alone. We need your wisdom. We need your instruction. So help us, Father, to be the fathers that you really want us to be by taking you more seriously, by taking the time that we need to spend with our children, to speak of them of your love, to share our testimonies with them, Father, of your goodness to us, in the big things and the small things, so that you, God, you, our Father, would become so very real to them. That as we share stories about you from the scriptures, that they would come to know you. You would become such a real part of their lives from an early age. That accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior will not be a big challenge for them, because they'll say, but I think I've known him since my childhood. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, your grace, your mercy. And I pray today for those who are doing it tough as parents, for single parents. I pray for them today too. I thank you for our mums, Father, the mums who bless us, who support us, who encourage us, who are there for us as dads. Thank you so much for the family unit. Bless each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.